preaching school and is starting a new congregation over there in India. So he asked that we pray for him as well. Now, another announcement. This evening, since this is the fifth Sunday of the month, Ray is going to bring us the lesson. So I encourage you to come and support him just like you support me. Actually, do a better job than you support me. Come support him and give him the encouragement. And hopefully we'll look forward to hearing his lesson. The song we just sang serves as the outline for our lesson today, number 210. And it's something that we need to think about. Because, as we read from our scripture reading, we need to set the Lord in his rightful place. And I chose today to bring this lesson because a lot of times people make resolutions on the new year. And there's people who need to look at this and make some changes and adjustments in their life. You know, we sometimes hear the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, but expecting different results. Well, see, that's the problem with a lot of people. They've been doing the same thing over and over, and nothing is working. Nothing is changing. But yet, they still expect different results. When we look out in the congregation, we see those who are basically very strong in the Lord. We see some who have... It's evident that they have studied their Bibles very well. They know what the Bible is. They're trying to live their life right and do those things that are right in the sight of God. And there's others who basically, they don't even know what's in the Bible sometimes. I mean, they haven't studied. They haven't applied themselves. They've allowed other things to get in their way. And if we're going to go to heaven, a lot of us are going to have to make changes. We all need to always be of the attitude that we need to improve ourselves. That's why we're supposed to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18 tells us that. And we know we're supposed to grow, and we should be growing. But if you don't change your ways and you never pick up your Bible as you're accustomed to, you're not going to learn anything. You need to pick up that Bible and start reading. So we're going to use today's sermon kind of like a motivational, all right, set the Lord in his rightful place in the new year. We've got a new year coming up, starting a new decade, and we need to do that. And you need to ask yourself, where is God in my life? Is God in my life? Well, for some of you, Sunday morning, about 10:30 to 11, you might say, okay, God is in my life. Well, what happens beginning at about 12 p.m.? Where is God in your life? And sadly, for some, he's just kind of back on the back shelf, right? Kind of like the elf on a shelf. Sometimes you just, he's there so often, you just ignore it. But God is not one to be ignored. So let's look at this lesson. In Psalm 16:11, we are reminded that in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy and true happiness. And of course, how can we come into the presence of God? Well, technically, we're in the presence of God all the time. Our problem is we just fail to recognize that. We fail to recognize God sees everything we do. He hears and knows everything we say. And we just forget that fact. And when we forget that fact, then we have the tendency to be naughty. We have the tendency to just kind of ignore some of his commands. And it takes maybe a Sunday morning to come around and remind, oh, I've got to go to church. I've got to be right with God for these next few hours. No, we have to be right with God all the time. And so it's a matter. We have to be reminded this. We're in the presence of God as we come together and assemble together. He is in our midst. We know that. Jesus said, I'll be in your midst where two or three are gathered in my name. Yes, we know God is here. God is present with us today. And we should be joyful that he is here. Now, if you're not living right, and you know you're not living right, then that should give you some pause and some concern. And maybe a resolve to change your ways, if that is what is needed. Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And that's right. Eternal pleasures are going to be there. We talk about heaven quite a bit. We talk how great and wonderful heaven is. And it's beyond our human comprehension just to see exactly how great heaven is. But yet, it's going to be there. It's going to be wonderful. And people are taking a chance with their souls when they don't set the Lord in his rightful place. We know where that rightful place is. Matthew 6:33, Jesus tells us where that right place is. See, I'm sure that all Christians would agree, but even so, there are times we all find ourselves not as close to God as we would like. I mean, this does happen. We sometimes, after a long, hard day, a stressful day of dealing with family, maybe getting the chores done or running somebody around all over the place, we get all stressed out and we realize, how much time have I spent talking to God today? Well, I've been too busy. And we find we in that situation, maybe we're so worried about something, it's starting to overwhelm us, and we have to be reminded, yeah, turn it all over to God. Let him have it. So we sometimes find ourselves in that condition. We're not as close to God as we would like to be. And so we find ourselves spiritually weak, doubting ourselves, filled with depression and anxiety. And when we allow these things to overwhelm us, then we get really depressed and it really starts to affect our health. And so we really don't need to do that. In such times, what can we do in order to become close to God again? And here's the key. How can we get closer to God again? And the answer is found in Psalm 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. We have to set God in his rightful place. We have to set God always before us. We have to set God in a place where we recognize he is in our midst. And he is here with me. Whether I am sitting alone at home or whether I'm gathered together with the church or if I'm out in public somewhere, the Lord is always near me. And when I remember that, then I am very cautious as to what I say and what I do, and if I participate in what's going on around me or not. We have to set the Lord before us always. We cannot take that chance because, sometimes we hear the story about the person, hope the Lord comes back. I hope it's only on Sunday morning because that's the only time they're in church. Anytime but Sunday morning, and I might be in trouble. If that's how you live, yes, you're already in trouble. So we need to set the Lord in his rightful place before us. So that's when we receive the benefits of his presence. And to understand the benefits of his presence, what has God blessed me with? When we sit down, he's blessed me possibly with family, with enough goods to take care of myself, the shelter, the clothes on my back. I mean, there's many things that his presence does for us. More importantly, when we are trying to live right and set a good example for others, then we benefit from his presence. Because we're doing exactly what God wants us to do. And when we are doing what God wants us to do, we know in our heads and our minds, and it makes us happy. So that's what we do. We receive those benefits when we're helping others. We may not have needs, but a member of the congregation might have needs, so we help them out. And so that's a benefit also. Not only are they thankful, their thankfulness rises up to God. Thanks. Sometimes they give us a thanks for it. So we receive those benefits. Knowing that we've helped somebody makes us feel good. So in this lesson, we're going to review ways that you can draw closer to God anytime you find yourself drifting away from God. And let's face it, if some people were really honest with themselves, they would recognize they are drifting away from God. And that is a problem. It's a problem in the church today. And it's not unique to this area. I mean, it's all over the world it's taking place. People are drifting away from God. They're letting other things get in the way. And the preachers who are worth their salt are trying to be bringing people back to God. Just like in the Old Testament, that's the job of the prophets. Repent and return to the Lord your God was spoken by all the prophets. So perhaps a good place to start is this. Set the Lord before you through God's creation. By that, we mean let nature help you draw close to God. And that's what we need to do sometimes. We need to let nature do this. For the creation speaks to us of God. It does. It tells of His glory. The heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament and the work of His hands. So, it tells of His glory and His knowledge. Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2. And then it impresses us with His eternal power and His deity, seeing as the invisible attributes of God are made known by the things which were made. Romans 1 and verse 20 tells us that. And of course, a lot of times, and many of us have experienced this, you get out in nature, away from the maddening crowd, away from the malls and the busy work schedule, and you spend time with God out there alone. I mean, what one of the nicest things to do is get out maybe on a nature trail and then just sit down and listen. You don't hear the buses and the cars honking at each other. You don't hear telephones going off. You're just out there. You hear the birds. You hear the rustling grass from the wind. And it's peaceful. And you can feel close to God. And you really do. I know I do. I get out there when no TV's going on, no radio's going on, just me and God. And so it is very calming. And that's one way we can get closer to God. Turn off the TV. Turn off the radio. Turn out the lights. Look at the stars and recognize God did that. And see how peaceful the stars really are. Of course, with all the light pollution around here, it's not easy to do, but you don't have to go very far to be able to see the stars. See, in their own way, such as inanimate objects, they worship God. The heavens declare the glory of God. I mean, when God created heavens and the earth, what are they declaring? What are they speaking? Talking about God is what they're doing. And so even God's creatures benefit from what God has done for them. All the animals of the forest and the field, I mean, they owe their existence to God. Now, they may not go to church on Sunday, but in a way, they do honor God because they are living the way God intended them to live. They all live by instinct, of course. And of course, we're different as human beings. We have minds which should control our actions. See, when we take time to contemplate God's creation, we understand more of His power and His person. Who is this God? I mean, we look out at nature, and we look at pictures of nature, and we see things like a volcano blowing up, and we think of the magnitude of the power that is there. And that's under God's control. And, of course, the ocean waves, the ocean currents, and the mountains, the skies, everything is under God's control. And He has the power over all of it. And this understanding enables us to come closer to God. Because God did all of that, and He's told me, and He's told you, speak to me, and I will listen. Try and get anybody to listen these days. You're at home. You're trying to talk to your husband. He's not listening. He's watching the ball game. He's doing something different. He's not listening. You're just yammering away, yak, 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 and he's not hearing a word you're saying. Am I right, ladies? Yes, I'm right. Okay, so when we pay attention to God, we can come closer to him. And just as increasing understanding between friends enhances friendship, we understand that, as it does in any relationship. The more you know about those you're in business with, the better understanding you have of what our goals are. The more you spend time with Christians from the local congregation, the more you understand what the goal of the congregation is all about. See, others use natural settings in drawing closer to God. We read about this in the Bible. Isaac would go out into the fields to meditate. And he tried to be close to God. So he would go out in the fields, away from everybody else, and just meditate. Jesus would also often go to the mountains to pray. Jesus got out and prayed lots of times. He'd leave his disciples in the house or in the room or down the pathway a little bit, and he would go and pray. Often he would do that. It is easier to draw closer to God in the midst of God's creation in nature and away from man's creation or the cities. And that's very true. See, walking alone at eve and viewing the skies afar, bidding the darkness come to welcome each silver star. I have a great delight in the wonderful scenes above. God in his power and might is showing his truth and love. That's what we learn from nature. God's creation can tell you only so much about him. And we have to realize that. His creation declares the existence of God and how great God is and how powerful God is. But that's about it. To draw closer, we need to set the Lord before us through God's revelation. We need to put God first. We need to seek the Lord. How do we do that? It's through his revelation. What is his revelation? We have it. It's the Bible. That is his revelation. God's word provides the full revelation of God, or at least everything we need to know. There's a lot God doesn't say. It's not that important when you think about it. He's given us everything we need. See, through nature, we are limited in what we can learn from God, and we can see his power, divinity, glory, and knowledge, but we learn nothing of his will and purpose for us. All we would know is, okay, I accept the fact there's a God simply from the knowledge of nature that I have, but what does he want me to do? And so people have used their imagination for many years trying to figure out different ways to worship these deities that they have, and the deities don't speak. So somebody takes it upon themselves to be a spokesman for that person, for that deity. And of course we know that doesn't work either. It is only through divine revelation that God has made his will fully known. Only through the Bible. He has revealed many things through his Spirit, who in turn revealed them through the apostles. So 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 12. And that's talking about the fact that, you know, what the world considers foolishness, God is wiser than the foolishness of man. So people who turn to understand the Word of God, they do so by faith. Such things were written for our benefit and understanding. That's why Paul wrote. He wrote to the Ephesians. He was talking to them how that by your reading, I can put my understanding, my insight into the nature of God and the wisdom of God into my understanding. Hopefully you can understand what I'm writing to you. And that's what we're supposed to do. As we help people to understand God's will, we help them by explaining, okay, what does this really mean when he talks about this or talks about that? Is this simple enough to understand, or do we got to delve into it a little bit more and find out if there's more we need to find out? We do that. See, others depend upon the word to remain close to God. David used it in many ways to stay close to God. Psalm 119, 92 through 93, 105, 147, and 148. That's what David did. He went to the God's Word. Thy Word is a lamp to my light and a light into my pathway. And so that's what we're supposed to do. We're to meditate upon His Word. And we do that. Jesus used it to ward off the tempter. You know, when Satan came to tempt him in his after his 40 days in the wilderness, Satan came with Scripture explaining, Jesus, you can do this. And Jesus used Scripture to turn Satan away. So you let God's Word help you draw near to Him who is the source of peace and strength. That's why we need to study. That's why we need to read and understand what God is trying to tell us. It's not some big puzzle book. It's not some written code that you have to decipher in order to find out what the meaning is. He puts it in plain language. Simple language, if you want to be honest. The only people who have a problem keeping it simple are those who don't want the truth. They got to really work to find some way to dispel what he's actually saying. People who get in their mind, this is what I wanted to say, they come across a passage that says, this is what God says. Well, God really didn't mean that. God didn't mean it that way. I mean, this is how they promote false doctrine, by getting people, I know better than the apostles. I know what is right. They don't. The people who the Holy Spirit inspired don't know what God wants? I mean, let's get real. Let's use some common sense here. See, in our song, verse 2, sitting alone at eve and dreaming the hours away, watching the shadows falling now at the close of day. God in His mercy comes with His word. He is drawing near, spreading His love and truth around me and everywhere. God has spread His love, His mercy, and His truth through the Word of God. Now, it's our job is to take that Word of God and share it with those who haven't heard it yet. And nowadays, there's a lot of people who haven't heard it yet. But do not stop with just listening to God through His Word. It's one thing to listen, but we've got something else to do, right? To really draw close to God, you need to set the Lord before you through your prayers. We need to pray. A close relationship must be a two-way street. If you never communicate with the partner or your spouse or anything like that, there's tension, there's difficulty. You've got to be on the same page. And so that means talking to each other. And part of conversation is listening to each other. That's one thing in the business world they taught us. You listen to communicate. So when I bark out a command to one of my employees, before I just let them go, I said, do you know what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes I said, now repeat to me what I want you to do. And if it's something that they're always doing, then they'll just go do it. But if they haven't done it before and I want to done something differently, I've got to explain it to them. And then I ask them, now, do you see what I want? And that's what it should be. Listen to communicate. Listen to what other people are saying. And then you can go start going your back and forth and understanding what each is saying. See, God has revealed Himself to us through His creation and His revelation. We must reveal ourselves to Him, which we do through prayer. We pray to God. And this is how we draw near to God. We draw near to Him in prayer. We draw near to Him by our obedience and our faithfulness. The means by which to express every concern to receive appropriate blessings. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And that's what we're supposed to do. We turn over to God, and now that doesn't mean, okay, God, I need a new car, and then I just go about my business. No. still on me. I'm going to have to, if I want a new car, I'm going to have to go look for it and see if I can afford it through financing or something. And so that's how it works. But a lot of times we need help, and sometimes we just need guidance. Sometimes we need assistance. Sometimes we just need to think it out for ourselves. You know, Jeremiah is a good example there. Jeremiah was being picked on. The kids were throwing rotten tomatoes at him, and people were hurling insults at him. They were threatening him. And he goes up before the Lord, "Woe is me, Lord. I mean, they're doing this, they're doing that. I don't know what to do." But as he kept talking, all of a sudden, "But Lord, you're faithful. You'll take care of me, Lord." I mean, three times Jeremiah did that. He started off complaining and then turned it glory to God. And that's what it is. And that's where we should be putting it. Praise God. Remember Job? When Job had he just lost his family. He lost all of his possessions. He lost his health. He had the boils all over him. And guess what? Job said, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And in all this, Job did not curse the Lord with his lips. We find that in Job chapter 2. See, the means by which to draw boldly to God to obtain mercy and grace to help. That's what we need to do. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Let us draw near to God in confidence. Some versions say in boldness. How can we approach God in boldness? You think about that. I mean, if God made his presence known to us in some miraculous way, what would we do? We'd probably fall to the ground in humble submission to him. And we'd probably do that. But the scripture says we can approach him with boldness. Why? Because if we're following God's word, we know we're right in the sight of God. We don't have to question that. But if we're not right in the sight of God and we have a question in our mind, am I good enough to approach God? That's when changes need to be made. It's when we must make changes. See, others found prayer the means to receive help from God. David found that confessing sins to God brought forgiveness. Talked about Psalm 32, how his bones were wasting away because he tried to hold it in. "But then I confessed unto thee, and it was like a burden lifted off of me." When we confess to God the faults we've done, it is like a burden is lifted off of us, and we can get back to business of doing what we should be doing. See, Jesus found a prayer to be a source of strength in times of trial. Matthew 26, when he prayed, "Let this cup pass from me." I mean, this is a heavy burden I'm going to have to bear. And yet, he still had the resolve to do it. But he says, "If there's any way, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." We can go to God in prayer. Draw near to God's throne through prayer. Let him know of your deepest needs. That's what we do. See, we find that in our song. "Closing my eyes at eve and thinking of heaven's grace, longing to see my Lord, yes, meeting him face to face. Trusting him as my all, wheresoever my footsteps roam, pleading with him to guide me on to the Spirit's home." So finally, allow me to suggest to you, you need to set the Lord before you through your fellowship. I'm talking about each other, because that's what we need. We need each other. That's how it's going to help us get to heaven. We need each other. We need to be there for each other. Strength comes from assembling together. As we come together and listen to God's word and seeing how we can benefit from that by putting it into application, and then by praising and singing praises to God and encouraging one another. I mean, it's always good, no matter what you're doing, if someone will give you an attaboy or a pat on the back. You did a good job. I mean, when somebody gets that, and I know it works, I did that with my workforce when I was a supervisor. At the end of the day, you know what? I'd say, "Hey guys, you did a great job today." Their performance increased 10%, 2 to 10% the next day. They were much better the next day. Why? Because they wanted another compliment. And then if I didn't give the compliment, well, we put forth the effort, we're not getting anything. So you have to. You have to be ready to do that. But every one of you know that same feeling. You know when someone says, you did a good job, your goal in your mind, I've got to do better. I like getting compliments. Who doesn't like getting compliments? You got to think of it that way. If you want to get a compliment, you do something good. If someone gives you a compliment, you want to keep doing it good or do it better next time. But for us, our strength, our faith in God, our understanding of God comes through our strength by our assembling together. Just as there is strength in numbers, as the Ecclesiastes writer says, even two is much better. If one falls down, the other can help him up. So, yes, we do have strength in numbers. In view of the very real danger of falling away, which is real, some people don't think so, but falling away from God is a real thing, we need to exhort one another daily while it is still called today, lest we drift away from what we have learned. Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 13. And we need to admonish one another through our frequent assemblies. You sit there. You encourage or stimulate one another to love and good deeds as we see the day approaching. And so, yes, our assembling together is vital. And not just Sunday morning only, all the time. Every time the doors are open, we should be here trying to learn about God, spending time with each other, getting encouragement from each other, encouraging one another. That's what our assemblies can do for us. See, it's like coals of fire keeping each other hot. Assembling together is designed to keep the spark alive in our relationship with God. Because everybody knows what happens. You take one of these burning coals and set it off by itself, how long is it going to survive? It's going to diminish very rapidly. But you put it back in the pile and it just brightens up as if nothing had ever happened again. But people think, well, I can just take myself and disassociate myself from the assembly and I'll still be all right. No, it doesn't work that way. And that is what reality tells us. See, the early church found strength by assembling together. All the time, they would do that. When Peter and John were released after being arrested, guess what? They assembled with the saints. They called the saints together, so said what had happened and told them what had happened. And the church glorified God because of that. And then Peter was in prison. The church got together to pray for him. And then all of a sudden, here the angel comes and lets Peter out of prison. And so they found strength by assembling together. And they had to, because they were in perilous times. They were being persecuted, outright persecuted publicly. And sometimes when someone just picks on us and think because we're a Christian, and they might make a little snide comment, oh, I'm being persecuted, and we start whining about that. I mean, they were being taken out of their homes and thrown into prison and put to death because of their faith in God. Would we do the same thing? See, our assemblies can be a foretaste of God's presence. I mean, where else can you come and just sing your heart out? You can't do that very many places. A place where we're drawn near to God together through song and through our prayer and through His Word, the study of His Word. And then, of course, the Lord's Supper, as we commune with God and each other in remembrance of what Jesus did for us, in which we enjoy the fellowship of God and His servants even now. Revelation 7, 9 through 17 talks about that scene, the great throne room, and who's going to be there, the 24 elders, and of course the Son that's going to be there, and of course the myriads of hosts all around. The chorus, oh, for a home with God, a place in His courts to rest, sure and a safe abode with Jesus and the blessed. Rest for a weary soul once redeemed by the Savior's love, where I will be pure and whole and live with my God above. That's what we're all trying to do. And this was written by a fellow by the name of Will Slater, and I believe it was back in the 1800s when he wrote that. Do you desire to draw closer to God? Hopefully you do. And you can do so. You need to set the Lord before you through these avenues, contemplating nature and what God has done there, meditating on God's word, spending time in prayer, and having fellowship with other Christians. That's when you can be on your best behavior. And you all know that. You're not dummies. You know when you go to a neighbor's house, you're going to watch your language, you're going to watch your P's and Q's, and you're not going to do anything that's terrible, right? You go to your friend's house. If they're not a Christian, what are you going to do? You're going to talk smack with them. You're going to talk dirty. You're going to use the foul language. You might even engage in some activities that are sinful. And you think, well, it's no big deal. Oh, yes, it is. God considers the big deal. That's why we need our Christian fellowship. That's why we need to spend time with each other. There's several people here that the only time you ever see them is Sunday morning. You don't ever see them any other time. You don't see them getting together with other Christians and talking to them and visiting with them and learning about them. We need to have that fellowship. It is vital for us to remain strong. Do this and we can draw closer to God, and we can sing with David, "In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." I mean, we all need that. Consider that. And I guess you can say this is your New Year's sermon, because doing the same thing what you have been doing is probably not working for you. Now, there's a few people who are doing an excellent job, but not everybody is. And you need to set the Lord in his rightful place. Seek God, his kingdom, and his righteousness, as Jesus said, Matthew 6:33. To set the Lord in his right place, you've got to be in a relationship with him. And that can only happen when you obey the gospel. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you repent of your sins, you change your ways, put the sin out of your life, you confess the name of Jesus as Lord in your life, and then you're baptized for remission of sins, and then you live faithful the rest of your life. So we're going to offer the Lord's invitation to those who might need to respond. And if you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.